The title of my sermon today is Divine Providence. So I can hear the thoughts already. I think I know where he's going. Well, I am, but in a different kind of sense. Because first I want to go to the definition of divine providence. And as I read this, I want you to keep certain parts of it in the back of your mind as I go through the sermon, because it will help you to understand it as well as it being defined. It goes, divine providence is the governance of God by which he, with wisdom and love, cares for and directs all things in the universe. We understand that. He created it. He controls it. It says he is sovereign over the universe, the physical world. Keep that in your mind. The affairs of nations, human destiny, human successes and failures, and the protection of his people. Those are the things we understand. He's in control. He directs things. He's involved in our lives, because I'm sure each and every one of us have wanted to achieve certain things and didn't happen, did it? There's a reason for that, as well as sometimes with health issues. We pray, we're anointed. Most of the time it works, and sometimes it doesn't. But God thinks far, far above us. He controls things because he wants certain results involving our lives. And we want God involved in our lives. I wouldn't want to be without him, knowing over my life, if I was not with God, where would I be? I could tell you right now, I would be dead. I did stupid things and was saved from fatal accidents, as well as I know would have ended my life. So God said, I'm not done with you yet. I'm going to give you a few years to get your attitude right. Get right with me, because there is a purpose I have for you, and I will guide your life to make sure you get there, provided you obey me and you live my way of life. You do those things, I guarantee you will be where I want you to be, both in this world and the world to come. Now I'm going to address an event here. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. It's the July 13th event, a failed assassination. But first, I want to kind of explain something, because I'm a former hunter, and I still have a rifle with a scope, and I know the techniques and the planning that you have to go through. But just to give you an idea, a caliber 223 has a muzzle velocity, when it leaves that muzzle, of 3,250 feet per second. That is moving. In this event that took place, I'm going to use 140 yards. That's what they claim they're doing this and that, which is 430 feet. To get to travel that distance of that 420 feet is 0.13 of a second. Now, I will be honest with you, because I've watched all this analysis and this and that. This assailant was well planned. He was seen with a rangefinder. He scouted the place out. He even flew a drone. He had a point of advantage, which is an valid advantage on top of a roof. But he was also in a position, very little of him was exposed, because the sniper that took his life said all he saw was the scope and the bottom of his eye. So he only had a very small target. He was successful. But the thing is, all that projectile had to do was come in contact with Trump's skull. Because of the velocity and force of that bullet, it would have been fatal. But it was just far enough away where it took his ear. Well, I mean, it didn't take his ear off, but he was wounded in his ear. So I started looking at this and thinking, the moment he turned, that was the moment the trigger was pulled. And like I said, that 0.13 of a second, made contact. And I thought about that, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, there's something going on here. Because a different focus came in. That, you know, I said to my wife, I said, Diane, I said, well, she hates Trump, but you know, so it's a little hard for her to listen to me. I said, Diane, I said, think for a moment. All these lawsuits, all these attempts to drain his wealth have failed. They failed. I mean, everybody thought it was a sure case. This guy's going to prison. He is a felon. That has all fallen apart. And then when we come to this event in Butler, Pennsylvania, wow. So in a sense, what does that mean? To me, it means that God has something for him to do. Have no idea what it is. Don't have a clue. His life was spared. And it was unfortunate that actually there were two that died. The assailant, an individual in the behind him, and two were critically wounded, but they survived. This assailant was able to get 8 rounds off in those matters of seconds. It could have been disastrous. But there was one thing that I was kind of impressed with as I watched, was the people behind him. Under normal circumstances, what would happen? They would scatter. They did not. I'm sitting here going, there's something going on here. Because in the normal circumstance, that's exactly what would have happened. I mean, I even saw a guy with his phone filming, you know, the Secret Service agents all over Trump. But another thing that got my attention was Trump's reaction. Under normal circumstances, someone like that being in a state of panic, maybe shock, and they would be, but his defiance, I mean, he just stood up and, you know, did his thing, and I went, that's different too. And it's, that's what I keep saying, Diane, there's something going on here. And then I look at the other side with President Biden resigning from the race because of his mental problems and health. And I thought about that. And then the vice president, I'm thinking, the way she's acting like the president. She is not the president. But there's another part to this. I believe it's going to be in the first week of August where the delegates vote. This is a virtual thing. Those delegates are free to vote for whoever they want to. They're not no longer obligated to Biden because he's out of the race. So, what am I thinking? What's going to happen here? I'm looking for something to happen that will tell me God's hand's in this. He wants things to go a certain way. So I'm watching and waiting for that. And that's going to tell me a lot. I think it will tell us all a lot. So when you look at overall the overview of this thing, what has actually taken place? There's been a change of course in history. Because if the assassination was successful, it would go in that direction, whatever it would be. It did not. God changed the direction. So we're on a whole different path here. And these are the things that God does. And that's why I'm saying this definition, these affairs, human successes and failures, the human destiny, these affairs of nations, he's controlling that. But I have to ask the question, do you believe that God actually does this? Because there's people out there that deny it. That's a mistake. But the one thing that we have the Holy Spirit of God. He's given us those eyes and ears to see how he moves things. My question would be, do you see it? Do you understand it? I know we can't start doing all these theories and everything, but watch. My next watch, like I said, is the DNC and who their domination is going to be. It may not be who you think it will be. We have to wait and see. And then I look at, we've got the feast coming up, and what happens after the feast? An election. Who is going to be leading this country? You know, I look at this, you know, I never thought that when I was young in the church, I always begged God, I want to be there when Christ returns, and, you know, I have to be there in this whole thing. And now that I'm older, I kind of think, well, maybe I've been a little, you know, presumptuous on that because of what's going to happen. So when I see this event was a big marker for me because I actually saw and experienced watching how God controls these events, how he changes history. I never thought I would see these things. You know, it's like John said, our country's not, when I was growing up, this is not the country I knew at all, the way things are. And I say that all the time. It just isn't. Things were different when I was a teenager. You know, even when I served in the Navy. And I was appalled this morning when I saw in the news that the Olympics, you know, when they had the opening ceremonies, guess who's going to be there? Drag queens. For the opening ceremony. And I'm going, I heard a sermon by Gary Beam talking about Babylon. And that was the first thing that came to my mind is we are right in the middle of Babylon. And the things he said in his sermon are worthy to listen to. And it makes it, we got to be aware. It's like John was saying. We got to be on our toes. We got to know what we're doing, and we have to know and understand what we see. Babylon, we're in the middle of it. And it's, but I'd rather watch the hand of God. I prefer that, like we've seen in this July 13th event. Okay, now I want to move to some examples in the Bible, how that God manipulated things. So I would like to begin in Daniel chapter 2, verses 19 and 21. I know it says 22 up there, but I've removed that one, but I forgot to remove it from there. It says, That night the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. This is Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven. He said, praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and set up other kings. That's why I'm referring back to July 13th. The changing of world events. That would have happened if the assassination was successful. It would have changed that. But God changed it to a different way, which has altered world events. I don't know if you can say, I studied history in college, you know, and you see all these things. Which way are these world events going to go? Because if you follow Europe, there are things going on in Europe that you should be taking notice of. The one individual I mainly watch is Viktor Orban, the Prime Minister of Hungary. And he has this group called the Patriots of Europe. I kind of just following you because they're within the parliament, but it's attempting to become a voting bloc, something to watch. And then just recently I've been hearing, this is coming from Germany, about putting together a federal European army. That's kind of going to do away with NATO. This will be a European army, a federalized. Germany's trying to move Europe into a federalized Union, which if we think about that kind of opens the door to what? The things that are supposed to take place before Christ returns. You know, I recommend that you kind of follow these things, but I don't want you to be obsessed with them either. You just need to be aware. Things are changing. I'm watching all this arming of these nations. We're on a route to World War III. Don't fool yourself and say this isn't going to happen. And Ukraine is at the center of this. I mean, we're talking about moving nukes to Germany, that you're going to get a reaction from Russia. Those winds of war are blowing. And these are things that God controls. But he's going to be controlling it through events, such as July 13th. And who knows what will happen with the DNC. It's something we have to watch and be aware of. In Daniel 4, verse 17, it says, "For this has been decreed by the messengers. It is commanded by the Holy One, so that everyone may know that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world. He gives them to anyone he chooses, even to the lowliest of people." Well, you know who that kind of reminds me when I think about history. Lowliest of people. The one that comes to mind is Adolf Hitler and the atrocities and the things that he did. But he was given his time in history. And it was allowed to happen. God allowed that. But it's for a purpose. It's for us to understand and where mankind is headed. He's in control. And in Psalm 75, verse 7, it says, "It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall." I get a little nervous with that one because, like I mentioned, this country is not the country I grew up in. I'm seeing more of a Babylonian nation, not the United States of America. These things have changed. And it's like I said, he decides who will rise and who will fall. We know and understand from prophecy that the further we get away from God, there is a judgment that's coming. And I personally believe we're in that process. Even though we still have blessings, we still have grocery stores, we can come and go as we pleases and so forth, but it's changing. And I see this change on our government level. Now, I'm appalled. When I saw that debate, I was appalled. I said, never seen this before, where a leader of this country is incapable. And he was kept there. But it was revealed in that debate. So now what's coming out of that? Now they're the liberal media, the vice president, and those cabinet members. You're guilty of allowing this to go on. Part of the plan. Now we see it. And I would hope that would be a message to some people saying, there's something going on here. There's something I need to understand. Because I know there's a church out there that has been saying this for years. This trouble is coming. Can you see it? Saw it with President Biden. And it's still going on. And he may not be there too much longer. We will see. And in Daniel 4, verse 35, "All the people of the earth are nothing compared to him," which is God. "He does as he pleases among the angels of heaven and among the people of the earth. No one can stop him or say to him, 'What do you mean by doing these things?'" Well, he's God. So who would dare do such a thing? I think there's amongst us humans that there are people that would do that. Why are you doing what you're doing? Because there's an argument that comes here about free will. And they argue, well, if you're in control, then we don't have free will. Doesn't work that way. What God does, he guides things, events that are leading to the completion of his plan. Now, you have a choice, don't you? You can either go with it, go against it, or just simply curse God. So the free will is still there. That's how it works. So that argument is trash. Won't even listen to it. And then in Job chapter 12, verse 23 through 25, it says, he builds up nations. We see that. I think of the history of this country. When we came into our own, I believe it was just after World War II, we became the world power. Well, who did that? God did, because it was a promise to Abraham. But it's like it says, he builds up nations. He says, and he destroys them. Are we on that path? Have we crossed that line to now we're going to be, our blessings are going to be taken away? He can do it suddenly or he can do it slowly. But I think because of us, his people, he does it in a way where we can see it. We know where we're going. Be wise and prepare for that. You know, I have two daughters. I've got grandkids. My heart goes out to them because I firmly believe they will see it. They will see the worst of the worst. I don't know if I'll be alive or not, being as old as I am. But if God decides you're going to come through this, I don't know where I'll be or where he'll have me, then so be it. But I worry for my kids. You know, I can't, they are not God-fearing people. They will not hear me and what I have to say to them. And my heart will ache over that because of what they're going to have to face. But I hope and pray while they're in the midst of it, they go, I remember what Dad was saying. Why didn't I listen? And they may come to that. And if they don't survive it, we'll have that conversation at the Great White Throne Judgment. And it will be, I should have listened. But you never know, as things get worse, and they are continuing to get worse, they may change their mind and say, you know, Dad, I want to talk to you. Tell me about these things. What am I seeing? And of course, I'll tell them. And I will tell them, there is a way out of it. There is a way to be protected from it. But it requires a lot of you to do it. Hopefully that day will happen. Then I can die in peace. So we'll see. And it says, as continuing, it says, he builds up nations and he destroys them. He expands nations and he abandons them. He strips kings of understanding and leaves them wandering in a pathless wasteland. They grope in the darkness without a light. He makes them stagger like drunkards. Are you seeing that? I mean, when I read this, I'm going, well, I know who this is talking about. And, you know, I see it. I understand it. And I know it's part of the punishment for this nation. That when you have leadership in government that, just like it says, wandering in a pathless wasteland, stripped of understanding, it makes them staggered like drunkards. Of course, I'm not looking at that physically. I mean, you know, but I know what he's saying there. He says, you don't know what direction to go in. You've lost your ability to reason. You're drunk. You don't have these things. And I will expose it. You've seen it. Because I'll be honest with you, when it comes to President Biden, I don't think he's going to be there too much longer. But that's only my opinion. His health, they're pushing him aside. And like I said, the vice president is acting like the president. It's like I stated, you're not the president. You can't make presidential decisions when you have a sitting president. Even though he's losing his mind, can't make the right decision, he's still the president. And it's his has certain responsibility that only he can perform. Kind of scary. I'm watching it with a lot of interest, because I know and see as well as you do, this country's in decline. And if you're a student of history, you see these things, how these empires decline. It was the rot from within. But I mean, I also take into account inflation. I don't know if that's ever going to be solved. I really don't. And I understand that, let's say if former President Trump is elected, do you really think you're going to have peace? People hate him. The riots will return to the streets. Antifa, BLM, this Palestinian group, it will get worse. But will it also get worse in the foreign policy? There's a lot of foreign leaders that don't like him. You have organizations like SCO. You have the BRIC nations that are breaking away. I don't think they'll tolerate him. But that's a wait and see, but that's all part of our decline. It's all part of that punishment. Don't be afraid of it. Because God tells you not to be afraid of it. He will protect you. Just like it says in that definition, protecting his people. But you have to have the faith. You have to have that strength to move close to him. And like Chuck was talking about this morning, counting that cost. Like he said, when you get up in the morning, what are you going to do? Are you going to kind of waver? Kind of go against what God and what you should not do? Because there's a consequence. We understand that. Our actions have consequences. And they can also have unintended consequences. So basically what he was saying is, be careful, be aware of yourself, and if you're doing something woefully wrong, you better count that cost. Is it worth it? Or get smart and pay attention. Make the change that you need to change, because things are closing in quickly. You don't want to be left outside the door. You want to be in the door, like the wedding ceremony it talks about. Some people got locked out. Why? They didn't count the cost. So be wise. Consider things. And now I want to go to Daniel. There's a lot of things in the book of Daniel that talks about how God intervenes in things. But I want to do this one. It says, so the king gave the order. And they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. But the king said to him, because the king had an affection for Daniel, and he said, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Is that same very thing being said to us? Isn't that something that we should really understand, what is being said? May your God, whom you serve continually, that's the key, rescue you. In these times we are, in Babylonia, he will rescue you. This is what we fight every day. Never really gave that a lot of thought until, like, you know, the news media, where they're pounding you constantly, day in and day out, with lies and garbage. Serving God will protect you from that. It's hard. No, I'll be honest with you. It's difficult, because there's sometimes I get carried away with it. And then I realize, well, Jeff, you're getting a little bit to the outer limits there, so let's turn around and go back. Don't let this get in the way of your life with God. Don't do that. And then down in verse 22, because he spent a sleepless night, if you know the story, and he goes racing out to the pit the next morning. And he says, this is what Daniel says. He goes and he says, Daniel, Daniel. You know, and this is how Daniel answered him back. He says, my God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I ever done anything wrong before you, your majesty. That was a divine intervention, was it not? And I would have to ask you, has there not been events in your own lives where you've cried out to God, or something's about to happen, especially in traffic? You cry out to God and say, save me. And it happens. And in my profession, which is government, politics. And I have been in that position of a scapegoat, which would have cost me my career, of course. And, you know, then I'm the sole provider of my family and everything. And so it's devastating. There have been times where God has saved my job from the accuser. And it's like it's happened like in Esther and Haman or whatever his name is. He ended up in his own guillotine. That has happened in my life where for some reason the accuser's motives are exposed. And it's goodbye to them. And I'm safe. I know that's God. I know you've had those events in your life, because I know Bill speaks of some where he's there. He heard and he saved you. He rescued you. And then I want to continue in Daniel 6, verses 23 and 24. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in God. That's the very thing I said. In these times, as they continue to decline, it's our trust in God that's going to matter. And you have to ask yourself, do you trust him? Because you could find yourself in a situation where he's going to take it to the end of the envelope. You're going to be at that line. Does your faith and trust kind of evaporate? Or do you begin to question it? No, that's a time to trust. To know, I will survive this. And those kind of tests come. I've been there. I really have. And he goes, at the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Divine providence. You did this to my servant. I intervened and saved his life. But now you're going to pay the penalty for what you have done to them. And I think of that and I go, where else have you heard that? The two witnesses. When they're on the scene, they said anybody who tries to assassinate them will die in like manner. It's right there. Those accusers ended up in the lion's den and they lost. But this is kind of the things that you take into your mind to say, this is how God moves. I need to be aware of how he moves his hand. It's all around you. You know, and the question is, can you see it? That's the point. And I think it's from this time on out, you're going to see more of it. I firmly believe that. You need to be sensitive to that, on how God moves, because he's making himself known. I firmly believe that July 13th, he made himself known. And then as you tie all the other events around it, it's obvious. But it's that change, that course in history that I'm focused on. Where will that path take us? Kind of obvious. God's involved. He's always been involved. But as it comes to our decline, he is involved. And he's making himself known. We can see it. And I was amazed by these liberal news journalists. They were confused on this. They were even mentioning God's name. And then, of course, well, there's something going on here. But they realized and understood a miracle had taken place. Because that was one of the things I was listening for. I said, Is anybody going to invoke God's name here? I waited. Then I finally heard it. It's a miracle. God intervened. Liberal journalists, something's going on here. It was a very special moment, and God revealed his hand in it. We need to understand that. We need to know, we need to say, we're on a different path, we know where it's leading to. So just keep watching. And then going on to, I got another example here. In Acts 7, verse 34, it says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt. That's Moses. God to say, now it's time for me to deliver my people. And how did he do it? The plagues. The plagues that came upon Egypt. Divine intervention. Divine providence. And it accomplished its purpose. Because as we go to divine Exodus 14, verses 21 and 22, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water. With a strong east wind, the wind blew all night, turning the seabed into dry land. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with walls of water on each side. That is one of the most fascinating things, because when they were down there by the Red Sea, they were trapped. Here comes the Egyptian army. Of course, you had the column of fire and things to kind of hold them off. But the fact is, I've kind of put myself there, realizing, you know, I think I'm going to die today. Where do I go? And then all of a sudden, the Red Sea opens up. Divine providence. My people are not going to die today. They made it across. And then what else happened? The Egyptian army was destroyed. Egypt went into decline on that. Divine providence. Are we going to be put through some scary things like that? Who knows? But it's keeping that trust in God, believing him. When he says, I will protect you, it may get scary. But understand that he will protect. And then going on to Genesis 50, verses 19 through 20. And this has to do with Joseph. He said, but Joseph replied, don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for the good. He brought me to this position so I could save the life of many people. I love the story of Joseph, because I think about how he was treated. He was hated by his brothers. They threw him in a pit. They sold him into slavery into a caravan. And then, you know, understand the thing with Potiphar's wife. A false accusation. Then, of course, the prison. And then, of course, as he worked up through interpreting the dreams of Pharaoh, Pharaoh put him in authority. And it had a purpose. Because the children of Israel became a nation. When he was there, they were in Goshen. Their population grew. They lived in peace. And they became a nation. And the following Pharaoh was afraid of that. He enslaved them. And they would have remained in that condition. But God, that's when Moses showed up. Divine providence, divine intervention. They became their own nation. Of course, they weren't exactly a good example, and they had to suffer some consequences for their behavior. But God saved them. But they had the opportunity to grow into a nation. And then it was time to go. God took them. But I look at Joseph because I kind of look at my life growing up and everything, and there were problems. I come from a dysfunctional family. You know, there were issues and things of that nature, and my military service was not good for me at all. I didn't come out of it well. Yes, I was honorably discharged, but emotionally I was a mess. And I look at this and then how my life... And then, when God introduced himself to me, and I responded, that's where I see, now I'm on this path. Been 50 years, and understanding what my future will be. And it will go right to that thing. I could save the lives of many people. Because when you think of the millennium and your jurisdiction, let's say, you're a priest and a king. What are you doing? You are saving the lives of people. And there's going to be a lot, because there's going to be a population explosion, and you're going to show them the ways of God. But you have an experience here in this physical life that you will take with you to teach. Do not go this way. This is the way you go. Now that's that voice when it talks about in Isaiah, about that voice behind you, say, no, no, go this way. It's your voice. You're responsible for them. And you will save their lives. And that kind of what Joseph reflects, that those kind of thoughts come from that. And now let's go to Acts 26, 13 through 14. This is about Paul. It says, about noon, your majesty, I was on the road. A light from heaven brighter than the sun showed down on me and my commandments. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Arabic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. And that applies to us too. And continuing in verse 15, it says, who are you? Who are you, Lord, I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. This was a divine providence. This was a big one. And then he says, "And now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future." Now we know who Paul... I think Paul was a Pharisee. I'm not sure. He was in the priesthood. But he had the authority to take life, which we saw in the martyrdom of Stephen. And he was on his way, but to Damascus, to do this very thing. But on the way, what happened? The light from heaven, it changed his course. He became the apostle to the Gentiles. But see, it's that event. It was sudden. Because it had to go in a direction by the will of God. And we have the New Testament because of that. But it's the point is that God chose a time. He happened to be on that road. The Christians knew who he was. He was the enemy. And he had the power, the authority of life and death. God changed that. Because, I mean, when you read it, a lot of people are like, we know who this guy is. You know, when he was blinded and he was at that one house. He's a persecutor. But that was all changed. Can God do that in your life? Of course he can. He has. You're sitting here. You have understanding. You have the Holy Spirit. God gave you that. Why? Because you chose to obey him. You had the free will to say, nah, I'm not interested. But you didn't. And that's why you're sitting here. That's why you know what you know. Which is a blessing. Don't ever throw that away. Count the cost. Be careful. And now I want to go to Galatians 1, verses 4 through 5, where it said, Jesus gave his life for our sins just as God our Father planned. That should tell you a lot. He has a plan. He has it on course. And that's why you see the way events go. They can change. He changes them because it's part of his plan for the crown of his creation, which is us. All glory to God forever and ever. Now this is where, in John 6, verses 13 and 15, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. It will not speak on its own, but will tell you what it has heard. It will tell you about the future. It will bring me glory by telling you whatever it receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine." This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever it receives from me. Divine intervention. Your life. This is Pentecost. The giving of the Holy Spirit changed your life, didn't it? That's an intervention. That's divine providence, and it's a promise that was made and kept. It's a precious thing to have. Nurture it. Take care of it. Learn from it. Because that's the only way you're going to see these things as they unfold before us. But it also guides your life. Guides you. Don't go that way. Go this way. And that little phrase is always there. Make sure you're counting the cost. Because we can go the other way. We can. But there's a cost to that. And hopefully you understand what that cost is. That would be the second death for us. But it's these moments, because I can remember, it was a Plain Truth magazine, how hard it hit me. Changed the course of my life. And then along with the giving of the Holy Spirit, the things I've learned, the life that I have lived, it is through that Holy Spirit I can understand it. And being the age that I am and living 50 years in church, there are things I understand far more deeply than I, when I was younger, when I thought, okay, I got it. Yeah, this is it. So let's move on to the next one. Mistake. Because it's so much deeper. And now I find myself going back, learning these things in the beginning, and learning and seeing the deeper meanings and what they mean. It is life. Now, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. It says, "This shows that the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their suffering and to punish evil people while they'll wait for the day of judgment. The Lord is especially hard on people who disobey him and don't think of anything except of their own filthy desires." Like what's going to happen at the opening of the Olympics. Filthy desire. And there's other things. This gender issue and men invading women's sports. Filthy desires. There's a whole lot more. It says they are reckless and proud and are not afraid of cursing the glorious beings in heaven. And they do. You hear it just flowing out of their mouth. Because they know they're wrong. But they don't care. Through their arrogance and their pride, they curse heaven and God and all and the angels. They want nothing to do with it. They live in darkness and they will remain in darkness. And we know what their end is. But I want to end with this. Because this is our goal. And it's in Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. I hold on to that. I want to be there. The Holy Spirit has taught me the way to go, to get there. It's a promise. When you think that that moment when Christ returns, you are there with him. You won. You finished that race. And you are no longer physical. You're a spirit being. And you will be with Christ in the heavenly host forever. Is that not worth living for? Why would you give something like that up? Why would you do something so stupid to change your way, to go against God? You didn't count the costs. We have counted the cost of staying with God and believing in him, because this is where we will end up. Revelation 20, verse 6. It awaits us. We know the way to get there. And I would say to you, please pursue it. Because it's there for you. It's being offered. Why turn your back on that? But in closing, the one thing that I do want to say, and it should be in every prayer to God, that the will of God will always prevail. And it will. But especially in this time, while we're facing an election year and so forth, pray that God's will be done. He's going to put someone there. We know that. But we want to take comfort in knowing this is my Father's will. So be it. So please do that. I ask that of you.